Hi, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach. You know who it is. I'm your podcast host, the Speak to Me First podcast show. And today has been an awesome day. This is my second guest for today. So I'm just on cloud nine when it comes to podcasting all over today. And I love it. Next, an amazing guest. She's out of New York, my hometown, as my first guest was from New York. So it's a New York kind of day around here. But we just happen to be both, live in Brooklyn. I'm Crown Heights, and she's somewhere a little bit further down. She'll tell you it's more Midwood area, Flatbush area. But hey, I know exactly where she's based. And more importantly, let me tell you a little bit more about her. If you know anything about wealth management, or put it this way, if you know nothing about it, why should you save? I know it's not just about your bank account and what's in it, how big it is or small. What really matters is how you manage your savings, your checking, your investments, if you will, and that includes retirement. So again, you want to listen in on this show, this episode, which will also be uploaded to my YouTube channel, and you'll be able to subscribe in all areas. So 8 years in the insurance industry. She's also has just a little bit over 1 year as a wealth management professional, worked at some major corporations. So she doesn't come without her knowledge, and we're going to let her tell you about it. She also has attended Long Island University. For those of you, shout out to Long Island University. She has an MBA in finance. So I may need to talk to her even off camera because I don't know what I'm kind of doing with my finances. But no further ado, let's just bring in my guest today from New York City, Sharon Carter.
All right. Hi, Toy.
Hello,
I am
how are you?
good. You're looking beautiful there.
Oh, see, that's why I love to bring on guests. They always compliment you, and I don't sugarcoat it, but today you can go ahead and sugarcoat it. Go ahead and rub it in, rub it in. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on Speak to Me First podcast show. Definitely, more people. We're looking for more subscribers as well, and hopefully, you'll be able to share out your episode, which I know you will, because in New York, everybody's got something. And today, we're looking for you to bring us that good news, and challenge us a bit. For those of us who are unfamiliar with the term wealth management, I appreciate it. Just dive right in. Tell us what you do, how long you've been doing it. And why is it important to understand the dynamics of wealth management?
Well, thank you, Toy, and thank you for having me here today. I appreciate you inviting me. And basically, in a nutshell, wealth management, I like to say it like this. We all want to have more money or be smarter or savvy with our money, but a lot of us don't know what to do, right? I mean, I think you just mentioned it. Now, basically, wealth management is, it's like you're baking a cake, right? You've got different ingredients. You've got the flour, you've got the sugar, you've got the vanilla extract. It all comes together to make a beautiful cake. Well, wealth management is the same thing. We're getting the 401k together, the life insurance together, the annuities together to create this cake that is your financial future, right? And we'll go more into that, but there, especially in our community, Toy, and this is Black History Month, a lot of us are not aware of certain financial vehicles that are available to us, or we're aware, but we don't have the confidence or the education or knowledge about how we can use them and structure them so that we can meet our financial goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And when you say goals, well, you sort of just take you back to the cake analogy, okay? Because no matter who you are, we can all identify with the cake. It's a cake or a pie. When we were in school, they taught us, how to do fractions, and you cut that pie in fours and all of that, right? Quarters and thirds and everything. And then when you think about wealth management, we're like, well, wait a minute, you mentioned cake. Well, we all like it, because some of us not supposed to have it, and I do. But the reality is, if you think about something you love, why not love wealth management and managing your finances?
Yeah,
I mean, why not?
that's a good point. That's a good point, Toy. And you know what it is too? I think it's because a lot of us have underlying fears about money, underlying worries about money. People are up at night, Toy, and can't sleep, especially in this economic climate. So I think those things hinder us in, you know, taking action and seeking help and asking questions.
Yeah. And asking questions is something that even from childhood, we kind of learn a lot from our childhood. One thing I remember is, you know, my grandmother taking me, and I, you know, like I said, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm born in Queens. So for those of, you know, Jamaica, Queens, you know what it is, Hollis. Okay. That's the area, St. Albans, born there, but raised in Brooklyn. And my grandmother had her own business. So I grew up with people who were already entrepreneurs. She had her own beauty shop, we used to call it, but now they say beauty salon. So she took me to the bank, and I used to, you know, play with those little things, and you're writing on things you shouldn't write on, you know, while I'm waiting for her at the counter. And I thought I was just kind of bored. But when I look back at it as an adult, I'm thinking, wow, that woman was always going to the bank. And it looked as though she probably was putting more into the bank than taking out. And so, see what I'm saying? So later on in life, and I guess I kind of did the opposite, but I, you know, digress. Back to the guest, why don't we? And I'm learning each day. But what is it about? Is it something that we learn early on in our childhood, how to handle money or be afraid of finance or just feeling like I can do whatever I want? It's my money.
I think it's a lot of it is your childhood. Honestly, you know, what we learn as kids, you know, I read something before that said by the age of five, we've absorbed so much information from our environment, whether it's our parents, relatives, grandparents, television, and we form our ideas about money, about life, about food, about people. And it takes a lot of effort to change these patterns of thought well into our adulthood, you know. And one thing I thought about as I was preparing for this, Toy, you know, before I was in the insurance industry, I used to work in corporate America, various companies, really in 401ks, because that's what I was taught. And there's nothing wrong with them. I think they're great because you do have the company matching, right, for the 401k. However, about 8 years ago, when I was in career transition, got downsized for the sixth time here, six. And I couldn't find a job. I had just moved into a new apartment in April, lost my job in June, right? My IT fund, that was gone, right? After the unemployment ran out. And then what did I do? I tapped into my 401k, right? And because I was under 59 and a half, I was taxed. There's a penalty for that, right? Now that I'm in the insurance space on the other side, and I thought, what if I, back then, rewinding my mind, if I had a permanent life insurance cash value policy, I would have been able in that situation to access money from my cash value tax free.
Wow.
Do you see the difference here, Toy?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
So, and then you got me at six times being laid off, but go ahead. Yeah. I mean, shout out. Times. Somebody out there has been in your shoes, but you're bringing the reality. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Yeah. I had, you know, in an accounting and finance field for over 15 years, and I was laid off multiple times, different reasons. It was mergers and acquisitions. It was downsizing. It was corporate politics. It was racism. It was a combination of different things. And one of the things I really think that would have made my corporate experience better or different is if I had a mentor that looked like me in that space, and I didn't. And that's another thing that I learned after the fact. So, you know, you take these life lessons that you get and you do your best to learn from them so that you can make a difference, a different change and a difference in someone's life going forward.
Yes, absolutely. One thing you said, excuse me, when you're looking at, you looked at your own finances, there's somebody out there listening and they're saying, well, okay, she talked about that. She was laid off, but she bounced back. Well, not everybody can bounce back financially. They may be of whatever age that they're back at their parents' house or their grandparents' house. They are called boomerang children, if you will. And sometimes they go to college, they major, they have MBAs and PhDs and every he you want to imagine after the name, but they again had to come back. So that's why, is there something there where it may be a disconnect to say, well, I can fall back on my parents or guardians or whomever versus start your own wealth management journey.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
Like I said, visually, I believe, like you also, you know, agree, it, a lot does start in our childhood, but maybe our parents or guardians, they just didn't have the knowledge or the know-how, and they basically were trying to put and keep food on the table. So, in my home, I was raised by a single mom. At some point, yes, I had a stepfather, but it wasn't for very long. So I'm still, with all due intents purposes, was raised in a single parent home. And fortunately, you know, and she had an advanced degree and she had all of the, you know, career and the education, but I had to imagine it had to be some struggle along the way. And there's somebody out there where they're saying, okay, wealth management, do we mean let's get a life insurance policy or something where we can put it in reserve? Should we get a CD where you can't touch the money? You know, you're always dipping in. What should someone think about in any of those instances?
First off, I would say, call me and I'll tell you how to do that. But two, in this economic climate, I would say, you know, do research because, you know, a lot of people, their 401ks are tanking right now because 401ks don't have downside protection. Whereas life insurance, annuities, they do. A life insurance policy is a non-correlated asset, Toy. So what that means is your money is with the insurance company. It is not directly tied to the market. So if the S&P 500, it does terrible this year, there's a floor within a life insurance policy of zero where you're not going to lose a dime. But then on the other spectrum, if the S&P does well, you know, goes up 20%, there's a cap of 12%. You're gonna get 12% return. You're not going to get that at a bank. So to answer your question, Toy, is first off, you know, reach out to people who have more knowledge than you. Don't, you know, you can only do so much with your knowledge. Read books, listen to podcasts like this, right? Reach out to professionals like myself and ask for guidance. It's nothing wrong in asking for help.
Nothing at all. And the thing is, it may be a coach or mentor, someone with a strong background, solid background, if you will, because, you know, there's one thing I know. Don't come in between my money and my M&M's candy. I just said that. I said that for this purpose, but normally I would say something else in private company. But you know, it just that kind of thing. We have to understand. The first thing is people are fearful, and there's that word. It comes up again in most of my podcasts. There's some level of fear, whether you're trying to become an entrepreneur, whether you're, you know, moving away from the traditional 9-to-5, whether you're moving far and far away from your wallet or your purse or what have you. And the further you get away from the money that you could actually have in your pocket, you know, you need to understand why. What's coming in, what's going out. And like I said, I have to get better with it as well. But when we're talking about investments, there's a difference, right? You're not, I mean, most people think, okay, finance, well, I just have my bank account, and my savings, good. I pay my rent, I pay my mortgage, good. Is that true?
That's not true, Toy. You know, money, saving and investing are two completely different things. A savings account, that's for emergency fund. That's it. There's no other reason to put a lot of money in a bank these days. Investing, now you're talking about utilizing something called compound interest, right? Dividends. These are things that are going to have your money now working for you instead of you working, sitting in the bank and it's not doing anything. So, you know, I just literally helped a nurse, right? She is a nurse in the New York area. She has three jobs when she met me, Toy. Okay. Three. She wanted to get quit from one of them because that's going to free up her time so she could spend more time with her mother who has dementia, right? She's a married woman with a family. We just helped her with a policy that's good structured to be a pension. She just quit one of those jobs, Toy. She just got more time back in her life so that she can spend it on things that are more important to her.
Yeah.
So
and see, when
again,
you say the difference, yeah, go ahead, because
when I say is, think about where you're going to get the most value for your money. You're not going to get it in a bank account. You're going to get it when you invest it in a place that has downside protection. You're going to get it in a place where you utilize compound interest. You're going to get it in a place where you get dividends. We have to think outside. Like I said, I was very 401k focused, and you know, we got to think differently if you want to get a different result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there you go, because you could keep doing the same thing over and over,
there you
and
go.
Nothing
There you
you
go.
get again the same. Well, there's a definition for that, but you
it's
know,
called insanity.
It, well, and the thing is too is that if we again back to that fear factor. We just have to almost stop it in its tracks. If there are parents and guardians out there who will listen to this, you know, what are some of the things that they could do to take action for their own children and getting them on the right track? Just a couple of things, if you can, you know, put some
For
things out
sure.
there.
One I would definitely say is get a policy for your child. To lock in their insurability health-wise. You know, we're living in a different world with all these different, you know, diseases and viruses and stuff. Get a life insurance policy for you. It doesn't have to be a lot, but get something in place. In the event of anything happening, you don't have to worry about out-of-pocket expenses for a funeral, right? Because they are expensive. Also, too, you know, think about as a family, whether it's, you know, a mom or a dad, think about where they really want to be in, say, 3-5 years and what they want to, you know, pass down to this child. They can start implementing strategies, you know, in pieces and steps. That's, again, are you properly protected in your family? Is your home protected? In the event if a husband or wife departs, can they maintain that home? Can they maintain that lifestyle? You know, I when I was in this early on in this business, a woman that I met at a networking event, she ran an organization for women, Toy. One of the new, and that they help women get back on their feet after struggles. This lady was coming in to meet her who had just lost her husband. Her husband was 40 in late 40s, didn't have life insurance. They were living in a big house. She had a small kid, didn't work outside the home. Because he didn't have anything, they had to leave, vacate the home. They lost the home. She would end up going into the shelter, and that organization was going to help her get back on her feet. So these things can be avoided just by signing a piece of paper, having an honest conversation with your spouse and saying, look, we need to take care of some serious business.
Yeah. And you said it. The key word, it's serious. It's not to be fearful. We're not, it's not a scare factor.
Right.
We're saying this is the reality of many of us who are maybe we're well above 40s something, and we're just trying to do what we need to do. Some of us are living paycheck to paycheck. We're gonna move fast and forward on this one. A lot of people now, especially since COVID, people lost their jobs. My background is HR, primarily HR, you know, talent acquisition. So I'm used to talking to people over the years when I was really doing that on a full-time basis. And one of the things I learned is that people were looking for jobs when they just got laid off. They weren't prepared. Mm-hmm. They weren't preparing all along for the what ifs. What if I get laid off? So what? You're on your job 18, 20 years. You think it can't happen? We are all replaceable.
Yes.
The person that comes behind you may not do everything exactly like you. They may not have, you may have a similar personality, but you may not gel with that person. Now you lost your job, you're looking for a job, and you're going right into those finances. And some of us will go ahead and dip into that 401k. Now that's a reality.
Yep.
When that happens,
yeah.
What now? So are you finding a lot of people doing that, but they still need the life insurance because they're no longer connected to the employer? COBRA is gone. Anything like that in your with your knowledge and how people can kind of combat that?
Yeah. People are dipping into the 401ks, and since COVID hit, some of these companies are waiving the penalties for certain things. I've heard that. But yeah, people are dipping into 401ks. You know, people have high credit card bills now, Toy, since COVID. You know, layoffs. That's all we're hearing now, you know, day in and day out. Companies are laying thousands of people off. So, you know, basically is you got to start from ground zero. Start from ground zero. You know, if you have an emergency fund, use that. If that's tapped out, there's no other resource like when that happened to me, then, you know, you have to do what you have to do to maintain your livelihood. But the thing is, like I said, is to get a strategy. And this is where a wealth management professional, a finance professional will come in and help you strategize from where you are to where you really need and want to be.
Mm-hmm. What is it that when we're always looking at the TV, I mean, many of us, including myself, oh, and they're talking about that life insurance and, oh, you know, for only this, this, and this, if you're this age, you can get it. And then, you know, and I, oh, you know, gosh. Okay. And then you're like, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't trust it. You know, that's an insurance professional. They just want my money. You know, what do you say to someone who's really, you know, on the fence about that? They just don't have the trust factor because everybody's always trying to sell something.
You know what? Ask for a referral from someone you know that has a life insurance agent. You know, that happened to me. You know, honestly, a couple I know, his wife was going online to get life insurance, and he's like, no, you need to call Sharon. Don't go on, because going online, picking up the phone, I don't really recommend it. I don't. I ask for referrals. You know, ask somebody in your network. You know anybody that sells life insurance? You know anybody who's a finance professional? Go through, you know, your network and then work with someone that you can build that you know, like, and trust. Because if you can't trust them, you're not going to trust them with your money or their advice either.
Yeah. Like I said, when it comes to my money and my M&Ms, and I'm talking candy.
Your M&Ms.
You know, don't get in between them, okay? No, I'm not sharing my candy. But... And I'm saying that diabetically speaking, type 2, that I'm not really supposed to have, but I keep it in reserve in case of emergencies. Diabetics do need sugar, folks, please. Okay.
I get it.
But
that's true. That's true.
Safe in moderation. But yeah. And when I look at that, I'm thinking, well, who really needs insurance? Do we all need it? Should we all have even a minimal of insurance in terms of life insurance? And from a wealth management perspective, you know, really, if we don't have a whole lot of money in our bank accounts, now what?
Yes, we all need life insurance, Toy, every one of us, because you know what? You know, one of my coworkers says, when someone passes away, their responsibilities don't end. Right? They don't. That the mortgage is still there, the rent is still there, but you know, your spot, you're gone, but the responsibilities are still there. So life insurance is a necessity for every person, seriously. So, you know, it's important. You don't have to have $1 million policy. The key is to get something that's within your budget, right? That get something that's within your budget that in the event of, you know, a person's transition, there won't be so much of a loss financially or an adjustment, especially when kids are involved. You know, my dad told me, and I didn't even know this. He said, when you and your sister were kids, I had a term policy for $1 million just in the event if something happened to me. I didn't want you guys, your lives, to be interrupted in a major way. And I didn't even know that till I, you know, a couple of months ago. He said, when the term expired, it expired. He just let it go. But the thing is, it's life insurance. And I tell this to people all the time. It's not about you. It's about the people that you love. It's the people that are left behind. And you got to take your mind off of yourself and put it on your relatives, put it on your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your kids. Mm-hmm. It's their lives that are going to be interrupted when not only your presence is gone, but your provision is gone.
Wow. I mean, that's a whole lot of knowledge. And you're dropping it today from New York, native New Yorker. We have in the house Sharon Carter. She has an MBA from Long Island University. Folks, you need to tap into her knowledge and reach out to her. We're going to give you those different ways you can reach her. But I mean, you know, I want to say thanks to my national as well as international audience, my listeners. We're in 17 countries here on Speak to Me First podcast show. And again, wealth management, we can't even talk about it enough. You know, this short time is probably not enough. and we definitely gonna have to get you back to delve into some other areas. But what I wanna know, in terms of wealth management, you know, when you first started in this, what really led you, your journey, entrepreneurship journey, or, you know, even traditional 9-to-5, just doing between insurance, selling it, being an agent, and then of course, overall a wealth management professional. What led you in that direction? And is there room for more people? Do we need more wealth management professionals today?
Yeah, you know what led me here is, you know, money is important, Toy. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my main faith. However, on this earth, I always say it's faith moves heaven, but money moves earth, right? So we have to, you know, for me, have to get a real strong understanding of how money works, how I can have it work for me. Because if I don't focus on wealth strategies or implement it in my life, that's how people end up working in Walmart at 70, 80 years old. They're not there because they want to be there. I mean, maybe some do, but the majority of them is because they don't have enough money to stay home. They don't have enough money to travel to where they want to travel. So it's, for me, it's about, you know, being intentional about my finances so that I can truly set up the life in my future the way that I want it to be.
Yeah, I got that. And then the other thing too, it's interesting that you mentioned with people who are working well into their 70s and 80s, and you do see people at different stores and everything. So shout out, by the way, to those workers who are doing it. But some people are doing it because they absolutely have to. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you have to do, feed your family, you know, shout out, because I have to go to Walmart probably tomorrow and you're going to listen to my podcast. So we want to be positive on that Walmart, because I need to go in there.
Yes.
And some people will be there and the greeters and all of these things. And I thought about it myself. I said, wow, you know, and when I get or to that age, I'm thinking, well, do I want to be working? And I'm right. My thought is, I want to be working wherever I want to be working. Now, this may not sound grammatically correct when I say I want to be where, I mean, I would like to be employed on my own terms. And that's what I'm talking about. My preference is on my own terms, not because I actually have to go out and I have to do this, because if I don't, I can't pay for my medicines. You know, as we age, you may have to take some sort of medicines. I just happen to be diabetic type 2. So it's not a joke or a game for me. You know, I'll bag your groceries. I'll do whatever I need to do if I got to pay for that medicine. Right. So I get it. So shout out to those people. But the reality is, you do want to try to set up yourself. I think what I'm hearing you saying, the overall message is that we need to be more conscious of our finances and structured, even as early as, you know, when we're in our teens, we're approaching college.
Yes.
We go off to college. I remember that. And I just remember, you know, calling my mom and saying, hey, can you send me? And then the phone goes, no. Well, I just gave you that. You see what I'm saying? You know, and your parents or your guardians, whomever. And something, if you are fortunate enough and you were able to get into the school, the tuition, the everything. And then you say, well, no, you need to get a job. You need to start saving for yourself. You know, at least a little part time. Now, if you're having trouble with your grades, that's a different thing. But only that person knows their child. Not all kids can actually work and do school at the same time. It doesn't work for them. But I get it. But that's a good way, I think, if you're going right before you're going into college. And now they're saying about high schools, they want to bring finance as a requirement.
Yes,
to be in high schools, even middle school.
It needs to be. It really needs to be, because it makes a difference on the decisions that you make, you know, and I back to me when I, my sixth layoff period, and I was like, if I had just got a policy when I was 21, I mean, you're young, you're healthy. It's very inexpensive. I could have started a cash value policy. I was working instead of putting money, all my money in a bank account. I could have put some into a life insurance policy with cash value. God knows what I would have had by the age of 41, 40, you know what I mean? So these things, and again, and the way that the world is different now. This is not the ways of the world of my parents or grandparents. Companies are laying people off left and right. You know, there's no security or quote unquote stability anymore. Mm-hmm. So you really have to position yourself in a way that if something happens, you have some places that you cash, there's cash that you can pull from, you can draw from. And life yes. insurance is one of the best things you can do right now.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things too that you said, I'm talking to Sharon, folks, I'm talking to Sharon Carter. She's out of native New Yorker, I should say, Brooklyn to be specific, the Midwood area, not too far from Erasmus High School. I know the area very well. I have family still in New York, in Brooklyn, on both sides of Brooklyn, you know, and it's just an honor to talk to somebody that's living there and doing the darn thing in New York City, educating people, families, organizations about wealth management. I believe we do need more people out there trying to help us get focused more on that, because what I know is what I've already done, and that is wasted a lot of money on things that just didn't even matter. I can't tell you, you know, what is this thing I bought? You go in a closet and you say, what? I've never worn this
we
outfit
all,
or
I've
something.
Done it. We've, you know? We've all done it. We've all, I've done it. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's, but we can refocus and change it anytime, you know?
Anytime. So that's, it's not too late. That the message is for listeners out there, it's not too late to get on board with finances. And I say, find a mentor or a coach in finance and business, as well as even accounting, because you should know your numbers. Just like at the doctor's office, you know your numbers.
Yes.
And accountants can say, wait a minute, maybe you have enough money to even put into more in terms of life insurance or annuities and things like that. So it's not all about life insurance, but there's also, I know you have various products, annuities and all of those things.
Disability and different things. Yes, exactly.
Disability.
Exactly.
Okay, good. So you handle it all. Well, that's awesome. I this is really exciting, because it's usually a fearful conversation, because, oh no, I don't want to talk about finance. No, I don't want to talk about investment. And by the way, for those people out there that are saying, I just don't have enough money, I'm barely putting food on the table right now. Excuse me. Even if there's a dual family, there could be mother, father, or two guardians in a home, or whomever is raising children. Is there a different alternative for that particular person? And if we don't have a definitive answer right now, just somewhere where we can steer them in the right direction?
Yeah, I would say, like I said, again, use your network and try to reach out to somebody you know that knows someone in the finance space. I mean, you know, you could go on Facebook or whatever and ask for recommendations from people that you know. Really just seek out someone that you can trust and then come up with a strategy. And, you know, look, many people, I know people, we're all doing the best that we can with what we have, right? But when it comes to saving, it's very hard for people. When it comes to, it's hard to, some people just don't have the discipline to say, put $100 away every month, or some people don't really have $100. All they have is 20. Well, if all you have is 20, put the 20 away. You know what I mean? Start where you are with what you have.
Yes. Yeah. There's some TikTok challenges out there now about using 100 envelopes or something like that. You'll have to look that up. I'm not on TikTok. But you, as a finance person, if you see that challenge, you might say, wait a minute, you might decide to do it. I used to get my calculator to do the math on that one to figure out, well, wait a minute, they said put this in, but I won't be putting that much in per envelope. So it's something about that and you leave it. I think it's more on the lines if you had a CD in a bank and you kind of put this amount of money away, maybe each week, every couple of weeks, depending on how you get paid or what have you. And then you don't take it out. All those envelopes are filled, but you have to give yourself time to fill them. Mm-hmm. And you got to be consistent. I think in anything in
that's
business, as you are, it's consistency. You have to be consistent.
Yes.
We're quick. We go to the store. I do it. Okay. You have that handy dandy phone of yours and you tap. Bing, and when you hear, and then you're in another store, bing. And by the time you get home, you're bing, bada boom, bing, bing, and bing. And you don't even know you haven't realized how much you did because you don't see the money. You see, so times have really changed because, you know, in my age range, no, I saw the dollar or I didn't see it. It was like, now it's there and now it's gone. Now it's kind of like, no, we use our phones as though we have credit. We use them like a credit card because we're constantly tapping.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's
and
true.
Then when you don't, you get the bank statement, kind of like, oh yeah, that's You're a little like, what? Elevated. What?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened? I don't, you know, how did it get down to $25?
And it goes right back to what we said earlier in this broadcast, is that, like you said, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It won't happen. So being conscious, I'm telling you, this has been awesome. You know, listeners, I have Sharon Carter with me today, native New Yorker. I got to pump that because she's from my hometown. At least that's where I was raised, born in Jamaica, Queens, Hollis area. For those of you out there, shout out to the J Train riders. Shout out to the twos and the fours when I used to be on that line up there in Crown Heights. And, you know, I just really enjoy listening to you with your background. And finances really don't have to be scary. You just have to find someone who knows how to do it better than you and that is willing to give you the right information. And don't be, what you shouldn't fear is that walking away from a finance professional who does not, I repeat, does not have your best interest at heart.
That is key. That is key, Toy. And that is a great way to end this conversation. Yes, have someone who has your best interest at heart.
Yes. Where can people find you before you leave?
They can find me on Instagram at I am Sharon P. Carter, Facebook Sharon the Resource, and LinkedIn Sharon Carter MBA.
Wow, all of the above. Make sure you gotta know, you gotta check her out. You know, she's smiling, but she's serious as I don't know what when it comes to her finances. So
nobody gonna mess with my candy.
You're gonna remember, but I am the no sugarcoating coach, so I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. But you're gonna remember that whole thing.
Yes, I am.
And the M&Ms and the candy. You got this. Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us. You know, and we're gonna see. People are gonna be listening to your podcast episode. I want to tell listeners it's definitely going to be uploaded to the YouTube channel. So make sure you check me out there. In the meantime and in between time, I'm just going to say, everyone, go check your bank accounts. Get on a phone call for someone just, you know, similar to Sharon and what she does. And if Sharon agrees, we're going to do a thumbs up. I am. And here we go. So thank you, Sharon, for joining me today. I appreciate you. And we're going to talk soon off camera, okay? Take care. Bye-bye. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. I'm telling you, this is just what it is, you know, having Sharon Carter, who has her MBA, and I'm looking at this, MBA in finance from Long Island University in New York. She's a native New Yorker, Brooklyn, my hometown. You know, I love talking to people from my hometown, and it gives me some more perspective on what I've been doing and my journey in my life. We all have different journeys, but what do we really learn from my guests? At least what did we learn from my guests in this particular episode? Well, number one, I learned that wealth management does not have to be scary. You do not have to fear managing your wealth, managing your finances, starting with your bank accounts, your checking accounts. Even if it has a dollar in that account, you have something. I'm a certified life coach and a motivational speaker. So I am talking to you as my, you know, I'm AKA the no sugarcoating coach. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And again, you know, I have faults like everyone else. I didn't say for a very long time, I will probably be in the workforce longer than I want to be, but I'm preparing for that. And at this point, there's not a whole lot that I can do, but I just have to be more consistent. And as you would too, be more consistent about your finances so that you can minimize the risk of you absolutely losing everything that you or maybe your family legacy has worked for all of their lives. So, you know, it's some real dropping of gems today with Sharon Carter. The other thing she mentioned that I really like for my listeners, and I want to say again, thank you to all of my listeners, both nationally as well as internationally. Finances are global. Finance is global. So if you don't have something, you need to find a way to get it, right? And that may mean starting your own business. It may mean that you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You might be working some people working 2 to 3 jobs economy-wise. And so we can only prepare for so much, but at least if we just start preparing for something. All of my videos, my career development, personal growth and development videos focus a lot on preparation. That's what it's all about. Preparation is key. It's the key ingredient to gain better finance, wealth, and managing the wealth that you have. Again, don't worry about the dollar sign. Worry about how to manage your dollars and cents. And on that note, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent. I thank you very much. And my guest today, Sharon Carter, for joining me out of my native hometown of New York City, Brooklyn. And yes, I'm representing Queens too, because I was born in Queens and raised in Brooklyn, Hollis, if you will, Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I thank you so much. Make sure you like and subscribe to my podcast show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. This episode will be uploaded to all of my LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube channels. So make sure you like and share. I appreciate all of the love. It is the month of love, February 2023, and you know what that means. So again, as I end all of my broadcasts, what I want to say to you, where can you reach me? TJV empowers you. TheLetterU.com. That's where you can learn more about me and my stories of resilience, including the loss of my daughter. And she was a toddler age. And of course, I was in my early to mid 20s when I suffered the loss. So I speak a lot on resilience. So if you have a group or an organization, whether it's corporate or nonprofit, and you need someone to speak on resilience topics, grief and loss, career development, personal growth and development, you name it, I will try to talk about it. And I definitely will customize the content, so I want you to be aware of that. But again, enjoy February. There's going to be more to come on Speak to Me First podcast show. Success is in your future. Bye for now.